Welcome back to it in the No Panic Zone. I'm Steve Gerber. Good to have you here on a Thursday. I've told you for weeks now, the big prize for Democrats and liberals and their handmaidens in the media is mail-in ballots. It's what they really want out of all of this because they want a chance to do what California did in 2018, and that is on Election Day have a whole herd of Republicans in the lead in several districts and then 2 weeks later declare that Democrats won those seats as mail-in ballots continue to come in. That's the big prize. Joining me here to sort it out in part is Jason Snead, Executive Director of the Honest Elections Project, and he used to be the Senior Policy Analyst at the Mies Center at the Heritage Foundation. Jason, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Good to have you here. All right, so the Supreme Court is looking at the idea of taking a case that would affect ballot harvesting. What is this case, and why should I be paying attention?
So this is a case out of the state of Arizona. Arizona had a quite sensible law in the books that says that you cannot engage in organized ballot harvesting, which is a practice which is used by political activists, by campaigns, and by candidates to go door to door in many cases through particular communities to collect their ballots, walk into their living rooms, and quote unquote assist people in voting. Oftentimes what happens, of course, is that when you collect a ballot from someone, if they haven't voted the way you want them to, then that ballot can wind up getting trashed or tampered with. And that happened in North Carolina in 2018 and led to a congressional race that had to be redone because of voter fraud. And so Arizona banned this practice. It was actually struck down in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And so now Arizona is appealing to the Supreme Court. We hope the court will take that case and consider this question of ballot harvesting and hopefully allow states to take, again, the sensible precaution of banning it.
In fact, 49 states make ballot harvesting illegal. The only state that allows for ballot harvesting, which is basically a guy who's a deputy, if you will, of the precinct, can drive around the neighborhood with a pickup truck or whatever he's got and throw boxes of ballots in. I mean, I remember a race in Minnesota where magically a whole trunk full of ballots were discovered. And Al Franken became the senator in that race over Norm Coleman. It was amazing that, look at this, a ballot-filled trunk. It's magic. And they stole a seat that way. And it's all being done under the guise of COVID-19 right now. Oh, my gosh, it's not safe. We have to let's panic people. We have to not be able to let them go to the ballots in person. However, on the other side of that, in Wisconsin just this week, a higher percentage of voters cast ballots in person rather than mailing them in the special election held on Tuesday of this week. That's the second special election in Wisconsin since the pandemic began. People there seem to be able to get it done. I think we can do it around the country. Your thoughts?
Well, no, I absolutely agree. I don't think, first of all, that anyone should be using the COVID-19 pandemic as a political excuse or a justification to accomplish a political agenda, certainly not in a crisis like the one that we're seeing. Secondly, if you look at the data from Wisconsin, the predictions were that the sky was going to fall if voters went to the polls a few weeks ago for the special election in early April. They were predicting the worst case scenario was absolutely going to happen. Now we have firm data from nearly a month on showing that there was no spike in COVID. So
right,
clearly states can do in-person voting safely and effectively. They just have to take certain precautions. That makes it a little bit more challenging, but it's possible.
Sure, I can give you a better example. In fact, there's a better example, and I just want to throw this out there so people understand that this whole thing about voting in person and we can't have a football game and nobody can get together. We had 40,000 people gather in the Michigan State Capitol on the 15th of April for Operation Lockdown. Everybody saw it across the country. There were thousands of people, hundreds of them or more, didn't socially distance. They stood around, they talked to each other, they shook hands, and there was no big outbreak of COVID. As predicted by Governor Whitmer at the time, didn't happen. In fact, yesterday she admitted she has no proof of her continued claims that these gatherings somehow prevent outbreaks of COVID. It's just not there. So we should not be going towards this extreme idea of ballot harvesting for any reason, Jason. That's my take. What's yours?
I agree. We need to have firm controls on ballot harvesting. It's a tactic which exposes voters to intimidation, to coercion, to pressure. And since it happens behind closed doors away from polling places, it's very difficult to detect or stop. And none other than Jimmy Carter said as much when he chaired a commission in 2005 and advised that this process be made illegal. But now we see quite brazenly, quite openly, Democrats and liberals are suing in state after state to make it legal, and they are fighting to make it possible for voters to be intimidated and coerced, and they're quite frankly willing to turn a blind eye to that.
Right.
I don't think that that's the direction that most people actually want to go. We have polling data that shows that this is unpopular, particularly when we prove that it helps to disenfranchise voters or subject them to intimidation. But nevertheless, the naked partisanship of this whole process is coming out, and COVID-19 is the reason why.
Yeah, Jason Snead here, the executive director of the Honest Elections Project. And it's not just Jimmy Carter. We just played tape this week of Barack Obama, then Senator Barack Obama, and other prominent Democrats all saying the same thing. This is a bad idea. But when they realize, no, wait a second, can I put my thumb on the scale? If we do this, oh, well, that's different then. I think it's a great idea. You see, they flip-flop completely when they realize, wait a second, this can work. What concerns me, Jason, is the idea that if everybody's mailing in ballots, and I'm not taking a swipe at anybody that picks up the mail, but if you had a dishonest postal worker who didn't like the campaign sign in my yard, in my neighbor's yard, you know, you could lose 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 ballots a day, just might never make it back to the post office. And over the course of early voting over, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that could make a big difference, couldn't it?
No, it absolutely could. There are a lot of problems that we're seeing with vote by mail. And, you know, they're not difficult to predict. There are practical problems. There's the certainty that ballots are not going to make it to voters who request them. We've seen that in Ohio and Wisconsin and other places that have done predominantly vote by mail elections this year. And in fact, right now in New Jersey, there's a city, Paterson, that's dealing with a voter fraud problem where hundreds of ballots have been disqualified because they were found bundled by the Postal Service illegally. So someone was obviously collecting those ballots, and you know, hopefully that's going to be investigated. But when you're looking at 6% of the ballots that were returned as of yesterday having already been disqualified because they were found bundled together, you know, in dozens or hundreds, that's a significant problem. It took about 5 seconds for people to take vote by mail election and take advantage of the opportunity to start harvesting ballots illegally.
Sure. So the most interesting part would be to know who got the votes in those ballots. But carry on. I'll give you the last word.
Oh, I think that vote by mail is the wrong direction for the country to go. I think there are too many concerns from an election integrity and security perspective, from a practical perspective. I don't think voters will trust the credibility of the results. And I think that we're getting a small taste of what we could expect later this year in these localities that are already dealing with voter fraud and ballot harvesting concerns. I think we need to do it better and smarter in this fall's election.
Jason Snead, greatly appreciate you being here, Executive Director of the Honest Elections Project, formerly at the Mies Center at the Heritage Foundation. Jason, good conversation, good common sense stuff right there. Thank you for being here in the No Panic Zone.
Thank you.
There you have it, Jason Snead, everybody. It's 41 after on a Thursday. Still to come today, I mean, that's a big case. If the Supreme Court takes this and says that ballot harvesting is out, man, they're going to panic in California. They might actually have to win elections the old-fashioned way, get votes. Strange. I mean, it's a strange way to go, but they might actually have to get votes in California to win an election, which is weird, which is what Mike Garcia did on Tuesday of this week, because they just won race. Everybody's watching, right? It is the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show, back after this.
The Roxor, beast of a sales event, is mixing it up. Right now, with the purchase or lease of a new Roxor, you can get either a worn winch, soft, full cab enclosure, or 3-year factory-backed warranty at no additional cost. You're in the driver's seat of this deal, and soon to be in the driver's seat of a more tricked-out Roxor. The side-by-side unlike any other. But hurry. This offer is for a limited time. Go to RoxorOffroad.com to learn more.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad.
weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.